Hey, welcome back to the website. So glad that you came to get part two, a call to me. I'm excited about what the Lord has been showing me in regards to this teaching. Let's go ahead and just jump in and see what else we can hear from the Lord about calling out to Him. Open your Bibles to chapter 20 in Matthew. We're going to start at verse 29. This is a great story and a great example to us how faithful the Lord is and why it's so important that we call out. I know that many of you have needs that are just beyond words and just great, great needs. I know some of you need healing. Some of you need salvation. Some of you need household salvation. I know many of you are being tormented by demons. And many of you are just pondering, what are you to do next? And you're just crying to the Lord, saying, Lord, direct my steps, order my steps, and help me to understand. And sometimes our mind gets in the way, and sometimes we don't always understand what we really want. And I think this is a great example when we read here in chapter 20 of Matthew, verse 29. It's about the two blind men, and I just found some real interesting things about this. But let's go ahead and read. Now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And he beheld two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight and they followed him. Now there's a couple of things that I kind of want to go over on this and break down for you that the Lord kind of showed me that I found very interesting. One of them was that here these two guys were walking along the street, and there's a whole multitude of people following him. And these guys were blind, but they were sitting by the road, and they heard that Jesus was passing by. Now, they were hearing by faith things about Jesus that left in their heart because they knew that if they could just get to him, if they just could come up to him and begin to cry out for mercy and just begin to cry out for him to touch them. And they knew that he was Lord, and they said, Son of David, please have mercy on us. And I find it interesting that as they did that, that the multitude warned them to be quiet. Isn't that just like religious spirits? We sit in churches all the time, and the Lord's wanting to touch people and wanting to move in a great, mighty way and with signs and wonders and just a manifestation of His glory and His presence. And we have a religious spirit sitting in there that came to church with us. Maybe with the people sitting around you, and maybe not with you, but they come in, and those spirits come in, and man, they start wanting to shut down and quench the Holy Spirit and just begin to ward off anything that might even resemble that God would manifest and have His way in a church congregation. And I find that this is what's happening right here with this multitude. They tell the blind guys, my goodness gracious, y'all need to hush. Well, you know what? They cried out even more. And that's what we need to do. Whether we're sitting in our homes, or we're sitting in a home cell group or a life group, or you're sitting in your church and Jesus is beginning to stir the waters and you know that He's passing by, and maybe there's a multitude of people sitting in the seats next to you, and they don't even realize that the presence of the Lord is there. Don't let that religious spirit, don't let doubt and unbelief keep you from coming to the Father, coming to Jesus and crying out for mercy and for a touch of Him. And sometimes that's kind of hard to see in local churches. You know, it's not always easy, but I tell you, by faith, if you'll just call on His name and call out to Him, you don't even have to be at church. You can be in your own home. And maybe you are blind. And I believe that many that are listening could be physically blind. Maybe you're spiritually blind. Maybe you need a healing in some internal organ within your body. Maybe cancer's eating away at your flesh and at every cell in your body. But I encourage you, I ask you to call out to Him. Cry out to the Lord for mercy. Ask Him to touch your body. Believe that He will. And like these blind guys, man, they were hearing Jesus was there in the midst of them. They could cannot see, but their faith, their ears, their inner ears heard that Jesus was in the midst of that crowd, and they were not going to give up. They were not going to let go of what the Lord had for them, and He was too close. They were too close for a miracle, and they weren't going to give up. And of course, you know, once the crowd quieted down and they just cried out all the more, it was neat that when in verse 32, when Jesus said, and He stood still, He stood there and He said, and He called out to them, He said, "Hey, what is it that you want from me?" And I think that's kind of interesting because, you know, we think about Jesus knowing everything. You know, He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows what we're going to say. He knows what we're going to do. He knows where we've been. He knows where we are, and He knows where we're going. And I think it's kind of interesting that He wanted them to hear His question. And see, it wasn't that He didn't have the answer. Oh, thank God the answer is always in Jesus Christ. But He wanted them to know that they needed to be specific. So He says, "Hey, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to Him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion, and He touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight, and they followed Him. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, just a few verses above that, when we started in verse 29, we were hearing them cry out, "Oh, Lord, oh, Jesus, have mercy on us." Now, they were asking for mercy. Twice they cried out and asked for mercy, and thank God for His mercy. And we need to cry out for His mercy. But Jesus finally said, "Look, I heard that, but what are you really, really wanting from me? What are you asking?" Because He wanted them to be specific. And we have not if we ask not. So He says, "What do you want?" And they say, "You know what, God? Oh, Lord Jesus, Son of David, we need our sight." And what Jesus wanted them to have was not just natural sight, but then He wanted them to have the sight in the Spirit. And so He was moved by compassion, because He knew that that would be such a tremendous improvement in their life for them to be able to see, to be able to know where they're going. But it was even more beautiful that they called out for mercy, and they called out for compassion, and they called out for a touch of the Lord. And what are you needing? What are you needing, God's Son of God, to move out on with compassion? What is it that you need from the merciful hand of our Almighty God? Is it your marriage? Is it your health? Is it your children are lost in their own drugs? Is it an addiction in your own life? I know that I kind of keep going over this. I covered some of that in the Come Apart to Be Apart. Covered a little bit of it in the first segment of this teaching call to me. But I tell you, if you've got some things going on, there's only one person that's going to be able to help you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as they heard what was going on with Jesus, they just, you know, they didn't let it stop them, and they just reached out to Him, and they just pursued Him. And they went over the crowd, and they went above the criticism. They went past the religious spirits, and they went past all the people that were full of doubt and unbelief, and the ones that didn't want to be bothered. Now, see, all these people were following Jesus, but I'm not sure what they were following for, because, you know, they had already heard and had, you know, known the rumors about Jesus, that He healed the blind, raised the dead, you know, cast out demons. And yet here still stood two blind men right there in the midst of them, and they were going to stand in the way of these two guys. And how often do we do that? How often do we quench the Holy Spirit? I think that's something that the Lord is really beginning to bring to the body of Christ, that we're expecting a great move of the Lord, especially here in the Texas area, in the Metroplex, and all over the United States and all over the world. But we cry out for one thing. We cry out for revival, and then we stand in the way so many times. And the Lord's calling us to be watchmen on the wall. He's wanting us to begin to pray the prayer of revival and the prayer of a move of the Lord in our cities. And I think that we need to be careful that our doubt and unbelief and just our being caught up in the crowd, the frenzy of the crowd, is keeping us from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And sometimes we're looking to to performance on the platform, maybe with praise and worship, and we don't really enter into worship. Maybe we're looking for Jesus in a man when he stands up or a woman stands up in the pulpit, and yet we're so caught up in the frenzy of the crowd and the multitude of the people that we're forgetting to get our eyes of faith on Jesus Christ, and that we are like sometimes the blind men that we really can't see in the natural, but even the dimness of our sight in the spirit is keeping us from seeing a move of Jesus Christ in the midst of us. And I think that we do an injustice so many times when we let things that are going on that's distracting us. And I think that's something else that the Lord's been dealing with me about in the last few days, is to be careful about distractions. I know that, you know, not every good thing is a God thing. And I know you've heard this, but you know what? It can so pull you in. Sometimes what starts out to be what the Lord's speaking to you, we get kind of caught up in the moment, and we kind of get caught up in just the walking it out. And then the next thing we know, we're distracted with the whys and hows and ifs and that whole thing. And the Lord's just saying, you know, just simply follow me. And that's what these blind guys did. Once they received their sight, not just in the natural, but in the spirit, they began to follow after him. And they were a tremendous testimony. And that's what we can be too, to the Lord. We can be a tremendous testimony of his greatness, of his empowering to us about our sight, about our hearing. And I think that's something else that as believers, that we're not in tune enough, that we don't sit still enough to hear his word and ask him, Lord, what do you want? What is the desire of your heart? And I just think we need to do that. Another story that I've been meditating on today is the little girl that was dead, Jairus' daughter. You know, Jesus was on the way, and I mean, there was all kind of reports like, don't even bother to come. You just need to stop. She's already dead. There's no need. And Jesus said, you know what? I've got to do this, and I got to only take a few people with me that have faith. And so he took the and sent the multitude away and told all of them to get back. And he took James and Peter and John with him, and he told the father, he said, don't you doubt. Don't you believe that lie of the enemy. She is not dead. She only sleeps. And it took Jesus pulling away the people that need to walk in that kind of faith and that kind of resurrection for that moment of time to separate them from the crowd. And maybe the Lord's telling you, separate and come out from among them. Maybe you're with unbelievers. Maybe you're with an old crowd that's pulling you into religious backgrounds that you've had. Maybe you've come out of a traditional church and now you're hanging out with people that's beginning to influence you and try to convince you that the baptism of the Holy Ghost isn't for today, that speaking in tongues isn't for today, and that maybe they're trying to pull you back into, you know, only the disciples could do that. Well, no, don't let those voices of the enemy and the voices of tradition and the voices of that religious spirit that comes at you, don't listen to those, but be like Jairus, and just say, no, I'm going to believe. I'm, you know, I'm moved by what's going on. I feel the pain. I love my daughter and I don't want her to die. But you know what? I'm going to look to Jesus. And that's what he said. I'm looking to Jesus. So Jesus took a very small handful of guys into that room where that little girl lived. And he began to call out. He said, little girl, rise up. And maybe that's what the Lord is saying to you today. Little girl, child of mine, my son, rise up. Don't believe the voices. You are a sheep and you hear the voice of your father and the voice of a stranger you do not hear. And so like the blind men, cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, heal my body. Lord, heal my son. Lord, touch my mother. Lord, move in the area of healing and deliverance. Lord, do what you do best, which is to manifest the glory of the Father. That's what we need to do. And we've got to walk in belief and we've got to trust the Lord. And maybe you have to separate yourself. I feel really compelled and prompted in the Spirit to tell you, come out from among them. If there are a group of people that you're hanging out that's influencing you, And I'm really talking to believers now. I'm telling you, the Lord is saying to you, leave those unbelievers, the ones that have only gone so far in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's only entered into maybe the baptism of water and salvation. If they're keeping you back from the revelation and the wisdom of God and His greatness and how Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy and that He is restoring everything in your life. If they're telling you that things cannot happen, then maybe you need to stop hanging out with them. And I know sometimes that can be your own family and that's tough. Now, am I telling you not to ever speak to your loved ones? No. But you know what? There's times that you can't entertain conversations that you know that's going to begin to cause you to be confused and become double-minded. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 8, right in there, it talks about how you can be blown by every wind of doctrine and, you know, everything can confuse you. And it says that a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. And so we've got to make sure that our mind is set on Him and that we're concentrating and just meditating on the Word of God. It says, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. And that's the only way that as we let that Word renew our mind, as we study and to show ourselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the Word, like Timothy says, then the Lord will reveal all truth, whether it's about healing or walking in finances or being delivered from, you know, demonic influences. Anything and everything is possible with God. And that's what I want to encourage you today as I finish up this teaching. I know it was short, but I just wanted to finish up with you understanding that there's voices out there that pull you and suck the life out of you and that will bring you into the realm of the carnal mind and will bring you into a secular mentality, that will bring you into lies of the enemy, that even churches have fallen into. But you know, there's one way and there's only one truth, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is not a man that He can lie. So when He says that He doesn't want you distracted, when He says He doesn't want you to live with disease, when He says He doesn't want you to be demonized and possessed, when He says that He doesn't want you addicted to pornography and those kind of things that we talked about in earlier recordings, it's the truth. And when I hear self-help people say, well, you know, that you need to get into the 12-step program. You know what you need to get into? You need to get into the footsteps of Jesus. You need to come to a place where you're looking to Him who's going to be the author and finisher of your faith. It's not a program. I'm not against those, but you know what? I guess I am. No, that's not right. I really am, because I believe that there's only one way, and that's being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and living in the Word and trusting the Heavenly Father to bring you through, because He says we are more than conquerors, that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And we do not have to go the way of the world. And that higher being, you know, can be anything when you're in a 12-step program. But when you come to the cross and you come under the blood of Jesus Christ and you realize the salvation that He's given to us, and we understand what His stripes on His back bought for us and how it's not going to happen, it has happened. We have every right to that inheritance through Jesus Christ, crucifixion and resurrection. Now we are joint heirs with Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. Is Jesus forever making intercessions for us? The Holy Spirit groans with infirmity. You know, He feels the infirmities and He intercedes and prays exactly what we need. So when you go through this step 1, 2, 3 and all that stuff, oh my goodness, come to Jesus. Make your life easy. He says His yoke is easy and your burden should be light. And that's what He wants for you. As I close, I just want to pray blessings over you. I pray that you will begin to seek after the Lord for your deliverance, for your healing, for your physical sight, for your spiritual sight, that you will begin to stand on the Word, that you will begin to just grab a hold of the things that the Lord has for you. But you know what? There's nothing like looking into His eyes. And you can't do that with the eyes of the natural. Look into His eyes in that intimate place where you're looking and He's giving you insight and wisdom and revelation and understanding, and you walk in holiness, and then these things will begin to fall off of your life. The addictions will go. The pornography will go. The anger, the bitterness, the resentment, all the things that have kept you bound will begin to come under the blood and be You'll be able to be free because you'll know what the truth is, and the truth is only found in Jesus, and the Holy Ghost wants to lead you to Jesus, and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak life into your spirit, soul, and body. Just give in to the Lord and surrender and tell Him today, Lord, I'm calling out to You. I'm calling out to You today, Jesus, that You are the only one that can do what I need done in my life today. You, Lord Jesus, that's who we need. You're all that we need. And so just be blessed and be sure to listen to the upcoming teaching that's going to be Moments of Miracles. I think you're going to be blessed by that. I'm pretty excited about how the Lord, you know, stopped the sun from shining and for a whole day, and how the sundial moved back 10 minutes and all that stuff. But we're going to get into that in the next teaching, which is Moments of Miracles. Until then, be blessed, and I love you.